So today we are going to do the offering of Bodhicitta, and we'll do the Bodhisattva vows. And before that, we'll do the Bodhisattva aspiring, generating the aspiring Bodhicitta with the ceremony. So before that, if you have any of the layperson's vows or any of the ordination, the Pratimoksha vows, of course, for the monks and nuns, they already have their getu or novice and fully ordained monks and nuns vows. But for those of the lay people, if you could take the all five vows of a layperson with vows, it would be good. So first I thought we would do this ceremony for taking the vows of laypersons. So as it is said in the great treatise of the Path to Enlightenment, Stages of the Path to Enlightenment, you should meditate on the so it is given in the Lamrim lineage prayer, the prayers to the lineage of the wisdom, the method, and lineage, and then the Lamrim lineage and so forth of the Kadam tradition, and therefore imagine the Buddha and then the Buddha, the great. So you should imagine the Master Nagarjuna and the rest of the masters as given in this the prayer, lineage Lama prayer of Lamrim, as well as imagine all the great beings who have. So with all these great objects of refuge in one's mind, please. So imagine all the great masters of India, Tibet, and so forth in the merit field. And then we'll do the seven limb prayer one time. And so we'll do it rather not very fast, no, at an intermediate pace. And so we need to put our palms together when we do the this seven limb prayer. So sometimes we just take it for granted, and even with regard to our physical or facial expressions, physical expressions, we don't take actually bother much. But when we say the seven limb prayer, let's all put our hands together in this gesture of making prostration or respect, and respectfully and bow to the three the holy objects of refuge, and remember their qualities. And so there are with regard to these. So let us do this by integrating the meaning of this seven limb prayer in within ourselves. So we are making prayer to the all the objects of refuge in which we have in our whereas we actually think when we are really obsessed with something out of negative emotions, we really very serious about them. And here we are engaged with some religious practice, and we should be sincere in our heart about this. And then with regard to the requesting, within this, there is the request for the turning the wheel of Dharma. And while saying that this, if we meet with the Buddha and all these masters, they would say that we have already given these teachings and you are not really doing any study of them. And therefore, the Kanjur and Tenjur books, even if you don't understand much, then you will. You should still read those books and try to study them. And then that would really please the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, because for you, about your request. Whereas whatever you have taught, if we don't really practice what they have told us so far, I mean, then even if we may make some prayer and for the turning the wheel of Dharma, they'll say that we would be doing something which is like hypocritic while requesting them to turn the wheel of Dharma or give teachings. We are not actually studying what they have taught. And so at this time, we can read the text. We have eyes and without any disability, and to also hear the teachings, and therefore use our eyes not for any kind of trivial distractions, but for the Dharma. So the best we can do is use our eyes to read the scriptures well, and then also listen to the teachings which are recorded, teachings which are from the masters like Pema Gelsen and Genyama Gelsen and Genlosan Wangchuk and so forth. So maybe those masters' teachings are not have been not recorded, but in the monastic universities, you have your teachers who have whose teachings you may have recorded. And so listen to them rather than listening to some songs for distraction. So we can see Indians and other people, well, they are riding cycles and passing by on the roads. They're listening to something. Maybe they're listening to some songs. And so be kind to yourself. Don't be ungrateful to yourself as well. And so be single-pointed. And so while saying the seven limb prayer, let's do it like that, with single-pointed concentration and internalizing the meanings within our mind stream. And then we'll say the Lamrim lineage Lama prayer. So in this prayer, we'll repeat the line, please bless my body, speech, and mind for the real spiritual feats. For realization. And then you imagine the lamas dissolving one into the other, and finally your own root guru dissolving into you, thereby becoming one with your body, speech, and mind. So there is a story that happened. One lama was giving a teaching, and there was a bold person in the audience. So when he was actually meditating, the lama on his crown, sitting on his crown, he always had this problem of having the idea that the lama was actually slipping down his head because of his boldness. He couldn't imagine the lama. sitting, but the Lama was sleeping. So here, we don't have many bold people. And so when you say magnificent root guru and so forth, you imagine the Lama at the end dissolving into you. And then beginning with the master, the Buddha on top, Buddha Shakyamuni, as we go through the prayers, we will imagine all the lineage lamas. And also later on, we'll do this. So let's have the tea first, because the prayer was already said. Mulipis. So take the bread, otherwise if you don't take it and leave the bread on the table, it seems like we are angry with the bread. So don't the rest of the audience have bread? There is, they have. Takoy dikiz taşı ya. Aşık ikiz. Aşık ikiz. Just English. So first, for the lay people, let's do the ceremony for taking the upasaka for men and upasaki vows. So genyen upasaka means the ones who are who approach and become close to the virtuous practice. Quick is our ashiki. Ashiki, how guess the chocolate. So for a fully qualified genyen or upasaka, upasaka vows, laypersons with the vows, you would be taking all five. And then more than that, as Dumtempa was, you could be you could also take the layperson's vow with celibacy, like Dumtempa. So if you feel that you cannot keep all five precepts, you could take keep three or so. So I always say this, when my precept master, Ling Rinpoche, the Ling Rinpoche, gave this upasaka vow, the genyen vow, to one Tibetan refugee man. And so he took the vows, and then Ling Rinpoche explained the vows, the precepts, and he said, you have to give up alcohol. And so, Ling Rinpoche also didn't, although didn't mention this, but I would imagine that the person had actually scratched his head and called with humbly asked and told Ling Rinpoche that I cannot give up. alcohol, and therefore Ling Rinpoche told him if he could not give up completely, then he should at least not take too much. And so sometimes when you get drunk, even if someone may be usually aware of the what are to be called abandoned or given up, forsaken, as opposed to what are to been taken up, and then people may become like mad. And the Buddha himself has said that those who follow me, those who take me as their teacher, and should not take even an amount of this alcohol, even at the tip of the grass. And so sometimes you have, because of your cultural customs, I mean, there are weak, you take alcohol, and so you should not take too much in any case to the point of getting drunk. And then if you kill human beings, you would land in prisons and go through the legal procedures. And you'll be prosecuted. And also, if you steal other people's possessions, that also will be this kind of consequences. And it's important to also not lie and be honest, because to have harmony in society, we need other people also to trust us, and therefore honesty is important. Otherwise, you may talk nice, but in action, people would be able to say that, oh, this person is really a hypocrite and a liar. And so, if you want trusted friends and many friends, you should be honest and not deceptive, not lie to them. And then with regard to telling lie, which is a grave lie, such as proclaiming what is ordinary, worldly, to be something called supramundane or transworldly. And therefore, for someone like me, there is this kind of danger of committing this kind of lie. And And so on top of the 10 virtuous actions, the Varatnavali mentions 6 more. Such as not taking alcohol and so forth. And then we would make our life more meaningful, not taking also not wrong livelihood, harming others, hurting others. Although we in the 10 non-virtuous actions there is killing, but we should still be very careful not to hurt others. Even if it may be a dog, you can very kindly feed them. And so not just look down upon them or be indifferent to them. And while doing this, as I said before, and to beggars and so forth who are poor, we should make offerings with due respect, and even to the point of holding ourselves lowly, lower than them. And then you could make meditate on loving kindness. And in Ratnavali, there are 16 practices that are mentioned for higher rebirth. And so, sexual misconduct, which means not having any extramarital affair with partners of other people. And so those of you who wish to take the layperson's vows, please make three prostrations. If there is enough space for you, please make three prostrations to the Buddha, the founder of the Buddhist tradition. So if there is something called effortless, spontaneous, enlightened deeds of the Buddha, then the Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha lived 2,600 or so years ago. So from amongst the 7 billion people, we are very few who follow this teaching of the Buddha, and particularly the glorious Nalanda tradition. We hear the teachings of, however little it may be, hear the teachings of these great masters. And therefore, the Buddha and the other masters like Nagarjuna and so forth will think of us. And so, if you have slight knowledge of the teaching of the Buddha, as it is mentioned in the Mahayana Uttara Tantra, we are few following the teaching of the Buddha in this world amongst the 7 billion people. But because of our practice, they would also be pleased. And so if there is a child who is very kind to kind and respectful and obedient to the parents would also love them especially. So when we practice, put into practice what the Buddha taught us, so since we have the basis for their blessing to enter into us, we would receive blessings from the Buddha. So please make three prostrations. Those of you lay people who wish to take the upasaka or upasaki, so those of you who have taken the layperson's vows before but caused a decline to them, you can take it again, as I have found some source that you can do that with layperson's vows. And so I am here as the precept master for this layperson's vows. So please make three prostrations to me, taking me as the representative of the Buddha. So please sit, kneel on your right knee, or sit propped. Kneel on your right knee, the best. If you have bad knees or bad legs, then it's not very convenient to kneel on your right knee, or not convenient to kneel on the floor, on the ground. And so, with regard to the precepts, please repeat these lines. You have to repeat these lines. So whatever vows you take, the taking refuge in the three jewels serves as the foundation. And therefore, that taking refuge as the basis you take, on the basis of that, you take refuge. Even in Christianity, they do seem to have some practice regarding that. And so other religious traditions do have this kind of single-pointed faith in their God and so forth, and called giving, submitting themselves to that God. As I have said before, mainly in taking refuge, as in the text it says, I seek refuge in the Dharma, the best of freedom from attachment. So the ultimate Dharma here, true Dharma or Dharma Jewel, refers to the freedom from all negative emotions. And the agent, which is the wisdom realizing emptiness, which gives rise to this cessation, the freedom from. And so this wisdom of emptiness is the one which, the agent, which leads the practitioner to liberation and also the full enlightenment, Buddhahood. Therefore, you should feel that it's indispensable for you to reach that goal of enlightenment. And with the sense of admiration, the faith of admiration, and then trust and confidence, and then wishing to reach that goal, you should take refuge in the Dharma Jewel, and also the teacher who taught such a path. And also those who have the paths of accumulation, preparation, seeing, meditation, and the realization of normal learning, the omniscient state, those who have reached those paths, and you take refuge in them as well, those who have these qualities or realizations. And having taken refuge, just as the Buddha himself has the ultimate realization in terms of the knowledge of all, as well as the freedom from all negative defilements. And therefore, being determined, feeling determined to attain the true Dharma within oneself, which refers ultimately to which is a reference to ultimate Dharma, which is cessation or Nirvana. And so, in other words, you should have this determination to overcome all negative emotions, destructive emotions. As the first Dalai Lama says, be grateful to all sentient beings, and particularly respect to all practitioners, and have a pure vision of the practitioners. So all sentient beings are grateful, kind to us. Therefore, we should be grateful. And even non-Buddhist practitioners, those who practice non-violence, not harming sentient beings, but practice love and compassion, they also we need to be respectful and have pure vision of them. And so we cannot just feel, oh, they are following other religion and, you know, kind of have this kind of a bad feeling towards, attitude towards them. That's not good. If you look at the Christian practitioners, for example, they go to very remote villages and serve the poor in terms of helping them in education, health care, and so forth. In the case of Mother Teresa's, the Sisters of Charity, they do such thing in Calcutta, for example. And so all these good things that other people, others are doing, we should feel respectful to them because of that, and have a pure vision. And so there are people who may not be religious as such, but they're very good in serving other people in society. So they also should be appreciated and admired. And the first Dalai Lama at the end here says, crush or subdue this enemy that is within you. So, which refers to the negative emotions that we have. And so, the biggest Buddhism, in Buddhism, we accept the liberation, which is the freedom from these negative emotions. Therefore, well, you should subdue or crush these, destroy these the negative emotions within ourselves. So you cannot just pray for that to happen, but you should know what these negative emotions are, what their nature, identity, and is, and then develop the wisdom of realizing emptiness to counter these holding on to things, having to have some kind of a objective independent existence. It's not easy to combat battle against these negative emotions, but we should do our best, even if we may die the next day. And so you should develop the wisdom realizing emptiness and the realization of emptiness and the true cessation, comprising of true path and true cessation. The Dharma jewel, I mean. So our aim is to reach that goal of enlightenment or liberation. And for that, we need to overcome the negativities step by step, and also develop along the path step by step. And therefore, the first step for us is to restrain ourselves. Refraining from the 10 negative actions. So that is the first step that we should take, which culminates in liberation, the total freedom from the negative emotions. So if you have a clear goal, then you will be going along the right path. Without the clear goal in your mind, without any clear idea of that goal in your mind, you will not be able to follow the steps accordingly, leading to that goal. And so, make liberation, the freedom from all negative emotions, your goal, and then you should set a line towards that goal and take the steps of avoiding the 10 non-virtuous actions. So please repeat these lines for the vows. Master, please pay attention to me. Please say your name here. I, known by this name, say your name. From this time on, and as long as I'm alive, seek refuge in the Buddhas, the best of the bipeds. I seek refuge in the Dharma, the best freedom from attachment. I seek refuge in the Sangha, the best of the congregations. Master, please consider me as an Upasaka or Upasaki until my death. Master, please pay attention to me. I, known by this name, say your name. From this time on, and as long as I'm alive, I seek refuge in the Buddhas, the best of bipeds. Seek refuge in the Dharma, the best of freedom from attachment. Seek refuge in Sangha, the best of congregation. Master, please consider me as an Upasaka or Upasaki for female until my death. And at the end of this now third repetition, when I say, when you repeat after me, please consider me as an Upasaka. At that point, I will snap my fingers like this. And at that point, when I snap my fingers, you hear it, you should feel that you have received the Upasaka or Upasaki for female vows. And those of you who have taken it before feel that they are, and if you have, of course, declined it, they are recovered. Master, please pay attention to me. I am known by this name. From this time on and until as long as I'm alive, seek refuge in the Buddha, the best of bipeds. Seek refuge in the Dharma, the best of freedom from attachment. Seek refuge in the Sangha, the best of congregations. Master, please consider me as an Upasaka. Feel you have received the complete vow? Until my death. With regard to the precepts that you have to keep, will not do any repetition of the lines, as I have already explained them, whether you have taken all five vows or some of the vows, just as the past arahats, those who have overcome or reached nirvana, just as they have trained themselves on the path to reach that goal, I will too make this determination that I will also practice likewise. So from the time when they took the Upasaka vows, these laypersons' vow, until they reached Nirvana, or there have been so many millions and millions of those who have reached Buddhahood as well. And so, with full confidence or courage, and you should think that I am also similar to them, and that if they were able to reach the goals, I will also be able to do so. And with that courage, you should think of following the path. Please sit down. As I have said before, visualize all the objects of refuge, merit field. And let's say this prayer of the seven limb. You, lion amongst humans, going to freedom, both to freedom in the present, past, and future, in the worlds of 10 directions, to you all, to, with body, speech, and mind, and sincere mind, I bow down with the energy of aspiration for the Bodhisattva way, with a sense of deep respect, and with as many bodies as atoms of the world, to all to you or to all you Buddhas visualize as real, I bow down. On every atom are Buddhas, numberless as atoms, each amidst a host of Bodhisattvas, and I am confident the sphere of all phenomena is entirely filled with Buddhas in this way. With infinite oceans of praise for you and oceans of sound from the aspect of my voice, I sing the breathtaking excellence of Buddhas and celebrate all of you going to bliss, Sugatas. Beautiful flowers and regal garlands, sweet music, scented oils and parasols, sparkling lights and sublime incense, I offer to you, victorious ones. Fine dress and fragrant perfumes, sandalwood powder, heaped high as Mount Meru, all wondrous offerings in spectacular array, I offer to you, victorious ones. With transcendent offerings, peerless and vast, with profound admiration for all the Buddhas, with strength of conviction in the Bodhisattva way, I offer and bow down to all victorious ones. Every harmful action I have done, with my body, speech and mind, overwhelmed by attachment, anger and confusion, all these I openly lay bare before you. I lift up my heart and rejoice in all positive potential of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in 10 directions, of solitary realizers, hearers still training, and those beyond, and of all ordinary beings. You who are the bright lights of the world in 10 directions, worlds in 10 directions, who have attained the Buddha's omniscience through the stages of awakening, all of you are my guides. Please turn and the supreme wheel of Dharma. Put your hands together like His Holiness. With palms together, I earnestly request you who may actualize Parinirvana, please stay with us for eons, numberless as atoms of the world, for the happiness of the well-being of wanderers in samsara. Whatever slight positive potential I may have created by paying homage, offering and acknowledging my faults, rejoicing and requesting that the Buddha stay and teach, I now dedicate all this for full awakening. Magnificent. This is the Lady Lama prayer of Lamrim, the stages of the path to enlightenment. Magnificent and precious root guru, please abide on the lotus seat of my crown. Imagine your root guru on your crown. Guide me with your great kindness and grant me the realizations of your holy body, speech, and mind. And above the root guru, you imagine all these lineage lamas. Next is a request to the method lineage, which begins with the Buddha, Shakyamuni, on top. The founder, the Bhagwan, the incomparable guide, invincible Lord Maitreya, the conqueror's regent, and then Arya Asanga, whose coming was prophesied by the conqueror. To you three, Buddha and Bodhisattvas, I make requests. Vasubandhu, crown ornament of This world's learned ones, Arya Vimuktisena, who found the middle path, Vimuktisena Gomin, noble foundation of abiding faith, to you three who opened the eyes of the world, I make request. Paramasena, who has exalted in marvelous accomplishments, Vinitasena, who trained his mind in the profound path, Verochana, a treasury of great waves of conduct, to you three friends of transmigrators, I make request. Haribhadra, who composed vast treatises on the supreme path of perfection of wisdom, Kusali, holder of the conqueror's instructions, all the conqueror's instructions, Ratnasena, who lovingly cared for all beings, to you three helmsmen of sentient beings, I make request. Suvarnadvipa, who realized Bodhicitta in his holy mind, Adisha, who upheld the tradition of the great vehicle, precious Dromtempa, who clarified the noble path, to you three pillars of the teachings, I make request. And then wisdom lineage, again beginning with the Buddha, to Lord Buddha, pinnacle of the Shakya clan, supreme guide, peerless in explaining emptiness, Manjushri, total unity of all the Buddha's infinite wisdom, the supreme Arya, Nagarjuna, who saw the profound meaning of, to you three, crown ornaments of the learned ones, I make request. Chandrakirti, who clarified the Arya's intentions, Vidyakokila, the elder, intelligent elder son, Vidyakokila, the younger, the conqueror's son, to you three, powerfully intelligent ones, I make request. Atisha, who saw profound dependent arising just as it is, who upheld the tradition of the great vehicle, precious Dhamtempa, who clarified the noble path, to you two ornaments of this world, I make requests. And then comes the Gadam lineages. First, the Gadam Lamrim, or stages of the path lineage. Gompawa, magnificent, powerful yogi. Nyuzurpa, who had stable concentration on the profound. Pagmapa, who upheld the whole collection of the Vinaya. To you three lamps of the border regions, I make request. Namgha Sengge, who practiced with earnest effort. Namgha Gelpo, who was blessed by the holy ones. Sengge Zangbo, who abandoned the eight worldly concerns. To Yelse Zangbo, I make requests. With Bodhicitta seeing all beings as his children, blessed and cared for by the exalted God, supreme spiritual friend, guiding migratory beings in degenerate times, to Namgha Gelsen, I make requests. Then request Rukadam scripture lineage. Potowa, the conqueror's regent. Sharava, the unequaled in discernment. Chekava, who realized the advice of Bodhicitta. To you three who fulfilled the hopes of beings, I make request. Chilpupa, bodhisattva possessor of oral transmissions and insights. Hlalung Wangchuk, supremely learned one. Gompa Rinpoche, savior of all beings in the three realms of existence. To you three great elders, I make request. Sangchenpa, who had the sweet scent of pure morality. Tonawa, master of 100,000 sections of Vinaya. Mantawa, an ocean of Abhidharma. To you three guides of the times migratory beings, I make request. You who realize their vast and profound Dharma, who protected all the fortunate beings, who did noble deeds of the vast teachings, glorious Guru Chöjtöp Sangpo, at your feet I make requests. And then requested the Gadam Pit instruction lineage. Sultimbar, great, powerful, accomplished one. Shönuwe, who practiced perfect devotion to his spiritual friend. Kergompa, who trained his mind in the Mahayana path. To you three sons of the conquerors, I make request. Sangye Wen, treasure of marvelous qualities. Namgha Gelpo, who was blessed by the holy ones. Sengge Zangbo, who abandoned the eight worldly concerns. Gelse Zangbo, at your feet, I make requests. With Bodhicitta, seeing all beings as his children, blessed and cared for by the exalted God, supreme spiritual friend, guiding migratory beings in degenerate times. Namgha Gelsen, to you at your feet I make requests. Then requested the Gautama Sarma lineage. Avalokiteshvara, great treasure of non-objectifying compassion, Manjushri, master of stainless wisdom, Tsongkhapa, crown jewel of the sages of the land of snow, Lobsang Drakpa, at your feet I make request. At the feet of the great scholar adept Sherab Senge, the real omniscient Gyudin Drupa, the first Dalai Lama, and Nobu Zangbo, who actualized the state of three Buddha bodies, to you three glorious gurus I make request. Gyudin Gyatso, the smile of Saraswati, the second Dalai Lama, the son amongst teachers, Gyalak Pel Zangbo, the scholar adept Ladin Pel Zangbo, to you three holy virtuous friends I make request. The lotus holder Padmapani Sanam Gyatso, Chir Pel Sangbo, the custodian of instructions of the profound meaning, all pervasive Lord Kondan Bajal Hindu, to you three scholar adepts I make request. The supreme victor Ngawang Lobsang Gyatso, the fifth Dalai Lama, the kind venerable Lobsang Chertor, the great abbot, the all knowing Lobsang Gyaltsen, and to Jamyang Shebe Dorje I make request, the spiritual teacher Jamyang Debe Dorje, the incomparable great Ganden throne holder Ngawang Chogden, the best liberator, Gyawang Kyesang Gyatso, the seventh Dalai Lama, to you three incomparably holy ones, I make requests. Lobsang Longdur Ngawang Lobsang, the great Lord Throne Holder, Ngawang Nyangdar, known by the title Ngawang Jirgu, Ngawang Chenzin, proficient in scripture and logic, and to Yishi Gyatso, I make requests. The regent of the victor, Dharma Rinchen, the light of sentient beings, the venerable Shakya Gyaltsen, and the glorious Dunya Ketub, to you three illuminators of sentient beings, I make request. To the Lord of speech, the venerable Chögyi Gyaltsen, the venerable Namgha Gyaltsen, the great being, the excellent venerable Lobsang Chögyi Gyaltsen, to you three incomparable gurus, I make request. Tsundri Gyaltsen, the king of Siddhas, the captain of transmigrators, venerable Damjo Gyaltsen, Gyalak Gyatso, the holder of the treasury of ear whisper lineages, I may request to you three kind gurus, Ngawang Jamba, the illuminator of the good path, venerable Beldan Yishi, the dance of Amitabha Buddha, the venerable Yishi Gyaltsen, the great tutor, I make request to you three revealers of the path, the holder of the treasure of teachings of Lobsang, Thukje Baitsen, his chief disciple, the venerable Ngawang Chenzin, Yishi Gyatso, the crown jewel of the learned, I make request to you, three holy guides, the king of Dharma, the tutor who is the unmatched upholder of the excellent tradition of Tsongkhapa, the great Lobsang Chultim Jamba Gyatso, I make request to you with a respectful heart, bowing to you with my three doors. And then comes the 13th Dalai Lama, and the previous one is his master, Lobsang Chultim Jamba Gyatso. And then 13th Dalai Lama, the treasure of intelligence, the lord of speech, in order to spread the teaching of the mighty sage like the swelling of the summer oceans. You were fearless in the three planes of existence and victorious in all directions, I make request to you. And then comes the lineage, the master, the Ling Rinpoche, the tutor to His Holiness the Dalai Lama, like a second Munindra in the teaching of the Muni, you were unparalleled in upholding the scripture and realization holy dharma. You were victorious. Your enlightened activities reigning over the three planes of existence. I make request to you. The 14th Dalai Lama. Request to the 14th Dalai Lama reigning over the gentle, glorious, adamant in speech. You were good. Your good vase of intelligence filled with the nectar of wisdom. You beautify the vast frolicking waves of dharma custodians, the sublime noble lotus holder. To you I make request. And eyes to view all the vast teachings, supreme great way, gateway to liberation for the fortunate, using skillful means to lovingly subdue the illuminating spiritual friends. I make request in all my lives, never separated from the perfect guru. May I enjoy the magnificent dharma by completing the qualities of the stages and the paths. May I quickly attain the state of Vajradhara. Anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha, pure field of the Buddhas, and offer it to you. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure land. To the Buddha, Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly or Community, I take refuge until enlightenment is achieved. May the merits and wisdom that I gain through listening to this teaching, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. To the Buddha, Dharma, and Supreme Assembly, I take refuge until enlightenment is reached. By gaining the merit and wisdom through listening to this teaching, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. So all those who work for the Dharma, the gods and non-gods, and so forth, are summoned to this place to listen to the teaching, which is like a nectar to the ears and which cures the disease of negative emotions. So I shall teach in the language of all kinds of beings, homage to the Gautama, who, moved by his compassion, taught the holy Dharma to rid us of all distorted views. So Drumtempa, the religious king, has said this. See, by sending these beads of the rosary of Gautam tradition, you will be able to fulfill the wishes or the aspirations of all. And so, in Tibet, there had been the Nyingma tradition, also has the teaching of Semnying Yeso. And so just as the tradition of Adisha teaching Lamrim, the stages of the path to enlightenment, in the Nyingma tradition, there is the Semnying Yeso, relaxing and resting in the and ease and comfort of the mind. And then in the Gagyu tradition, Gampopa also wrote the liberation ornament of jewel ornament of liberation. And in the Sakya tradition, in their teaching of the Nangsum, the three visions, which also follow the pattern of Lamrim as following Adisha's master, Adisha's sister, lamb for the path to enlightenment. And in the Gelug tradition, of course, there we have this Lamrim text written by Master Tsongkhapa. And so all... So this rosary puts in together the parts in accordance with the three types of beings as Domdenba. So the wills of those beings who are merely interested in higher rebirth in the next life, but not even the liberation from samsara. And so for them, this outline in Lamrim says that sets a complete teaching for them to have that, to set their mind, the determination to reach higher goal, and then the means to leading to that. And for those who wish to become rich liberation, they are also shown what kind of liberation, what we mean by liberation, the nature of liberation, and the path to that, such as overcoming the preoccupation or attraction to this life's pleasures and pleasures of the samsara in the next life, and so forth. And therefore, these paths are called the paths pertaining, which are shared with the beings of small scope as well as and the middling scope. And then the Lamrim is set in such a manner that it is beneficial to all three types of beings with these three types of capacities. So if you follow merely the path pertaining to the practices pertaining to those of the small scope. I mean, if the Lamrim were taught merely for those beings who are for whom, I mean, whose goal is to reach higher rebirth, then it will not be complete. And in the three principal aspects of the path, practitioners are led through the practice of turning the mind away from samsara in that pattern. So in the former Kadampa tradition, Sharawa's Lamrim is there, and then there is Tenrim, the stages of the doctrine. And then in Tsongkhapa's Tsongkhapa's tradition, we have his own writings, such as the great stages of the path, the middle or the intermediate stages of the path, and then the concise stages of the path. And then there are many different lineages following Master Tsongkhapa, such as those coming from Jisharab Singhi and so forth. So with regard to the lineage of the great tradition, the great treatise on the stages of the path to enlightenment, we have the first Dalai Lama, Gendun Drupa, then the Gendun Gyatso, the second Dalai Lama, and then the fifth Dalai Lama, I mean the third Dalai Lama, and the fifth Dalai Lama, and the seventh Dalai Lama. And in this lineage Lama prayer, this eighth Dalai Lama is not there. And otherwise, those who have lived, and they are mentioned. So me too, I am part of this lineage of the Dalai Lamas. As I feel, as the first Dalai Lama says, I feel all sentient beings to be kind to me. I feel grateful to them, and particularly the tradition of Master Tsongkhapa. So, although I'm not able to repay your kindness, but the first Dalai Lama has said that I may I be able to follow your tradition and preserve and promote it. And so, the second Dalai Lama was someone who was an amazing person, even as a small child, being able to write poems and and therefore, he was someone who was an unmistaken reincarnation of the first Dalai Lama. So, although it seems looking at the names of the first and second Dalai Lamas, it seems the Dalai Lamas should have the name Gendun, but with regard to the second Dalai Lama, the third Dalai Lama, the surname, whose name was Surnam Gyatso, there is a saying that Panchen Sonam Thakpa, who was his teacher, actually insisted on taking that name, surname, from him to the second, third Dalai Lama. And so all the Dalai Lamas have been really kind to us, and especially the fifth Dalai Lama and seventh Dalai Lama, and then the previous Dalai Lama, the 13th Dalai Lama, was amazingly kind. So if he had been able to put into practice what he had envisioned, precisely, first he went to, he fled towards the China and Mongolia, and then came back, and then he came to India and fled to India, and then returning from there, he sent Tibetan children to England and India to study. And so he had really thought about making changes in Tibet, and but his visions had not been practiced. And regarding Retting Rinpoche, he was my first teacher, and then Dada Rinpoche, and Ling Rinpoche, and Gyabje Chan Rinpoche. So I considered them as my tutors. But they have really missed the opportunity to do what they could to carry out the visions of the 13th Dalai Lama. So there had been loopholes, and there's been negligence. Perhaps during the Lungsha, time of Lungsha, one of the cabinet ministers. So there are inner circle and outer circles of the assembly of the people, the officials of Tibetan government. And Gautang has told me so there was a discussion that so Lungshar actually was quite critical of the how some of the lamas were doing their things and without any much knowledge. And so he was critical and he tried to change, democratize Tibetan society, but he was not successful. So at this time, we are, I say that we cannot blame only the Chinese for all the mishaps and misfortunes that happened to us, but we ourselves, Tibetans, have actually caused lots of negligence. And so the in the Lineage Lama prayers, including the Dalai Lama's, I saw it very important and quite effective. So Ling Rinpoche was one of those main disciples of the 13th Dalai Lama when he gave the teachings on the great treatise of the path to enlightenment. And then I received this teaching from Gyabje Ling Rinpoche and also from Gyabje Chan Rinpoche. In Muro Monastery, I think, when Lhundup Zundru was the garden throne holder, I received a text which has this Lineage Lama prayer that we have now. I showed it to Gyabje Chan Rinpoche and asked him how is this, and he said it's very good to do the Lineage Lama prayer based on this. So although there are many different lineages of the Lamrim teachings, and we are what we have, the Lamrim lineage prayer that we have has the major Lamrim lineage holders. So I have received the 8 commentaries of Lamrim, and then also other Lamrim transmissions, and therefore Ling Rinpoche, the current Ling Rinpoche, has requested me to give these teachings, and also the Garden Sharze Abbot also gave me an information about how many years it has been since Master Tsongkhapa wrote Lamrim Chemo, and so I felt very glad to hear that. And so this is the fourth time. His Holiness is saying 3 times. This is the fourth time that His Holiness is giving this Lamrim teachings. It was first started in Garden, and so this is the fourth time His Holiness says now. And I so in the beginning I had I caught some cold. So I was quite concerned how I would keep up with it, and so right now I have recovered, so I feel quite strong. This old monk is quite feeling quite strong, although there are some younger lamas or younger monks who had caught cold and have not still recovered. And so not only the cold gave me concern, but my eyes also gave concern to me at some point. And so I will finish as much as possible the remaining part of the Lam Hokdong Gundel, the difficult commentary on the difficult parts of this. So we have covered the points on how a person appears like an illusion based on that refutation on page 300 of Lamrim Hokdong Chemo. And we are now in that part, in the part where the text goes through this quotation from the King of Concentration Sutra, where there is these lines. All these all things are like form, form like plantain tree and like lightning and so forth. So regarding this line, all things are like form and like plantain tree. And although this is usually with regard to this first line, the form is used as an analogy for impermanence. As we say, as it is said in Pramana Vartika, therefore, based on the impermanence, the Buddha taught, you generate the suffering nature. And then from that understanding of suffering, you go into the understanding of selflessness. So it could be used like that. But here, the author says, in this context, just as we have this other quotation which says, form is like a foam, bursting of a foam or bubbles. Following that meaning of that line, when there are lots of forms formed on the surface of an ocean, what happens is they would make some part of the ocean as if they look like there is some kind of a ground or a field there, but they are called empty of such a field. And so likewise, form and so forth, the physicality of things and so forth, although they do appear to have some intrinsic existence, but they are devoid of such a way of existence, such existence. And then regarding the plantain tree, just as a plantain tree or banyan tree has no essence in them, likewise, all phenomena, when critically analyzed by the reasoning mind, cannot stand to that critical analysis, and therefore they have no essence. And then lightning. And so with regard to the lightning, you cannot say it came first from here, from there, or from here, and in the middle abides there, here, and finally it went there as such. And so there's no way we can actually recognize where it's coming from and where it goes and where it abides. And so, likewise, regarding the causes, the effects, and the nature of things, and from all kinds, in all aspects, all entities in the present time, if you try to look for the designated object, and with regard to from the point of view, there are the cause, effect, and nature. I mean, you will not find anything, and therefore there is this deconstruction of the entity, and the entity itself, through this kind of critical analysis, dissolves or just disappears. And so, the author says, if we explain it like this and check whether this really accords with the import or the of the text or not. And then there is a mention of the scholars of Tibet during the earlier dissemination period of the Buddhism in Tibet. Who say that the reflection of the face in a mirror or non-intrinsic nature of it is the partial or emptiness. And then there is a logical syllogism that is given here. It says, supposing the non-intrinsicness of the reflection of face, using this as a subject, is it It follows that it is not a partial or superficial emptiness, but it is a pervasive emptiness. Because if you realize the non-intrinsic nature of one thing or one phenomena, then it is said that there is an ability for you to realize the non-intrinsicness of all phenomena. So it is that emptiness, as referred by this whole phrase. So the author says this is what is intended to be proving in the text in Lakdong Chemo. And partial here means just superficial, refers to the partiality of the meaning. And so it should not be understood, this word partial and emptiness should not be understood to be a reference to realizing the emptiness only on some partial basis of emptiness. But it should be understood to mean that until you have, so when you gain with regard to certain teachings, if you have a conviction-based understanding, it is very stable. And therefore, it is very important to, with regard to the sense of renunciation or the determination to be free, this should not be just superficial, but should have the support of your wisdom, understanding what renunciation means and how to develop and so forth. And so, His Holiness seems to have finished the Lakdong Chemo, this Lakdong part, and is in the verses, the afterwards. Churned from the ocean of the words of the Buddha and the exegetical treatises, the writings of the great Lord Father, the sacred writings, so this dispels the darkness of one's ignorance. These are the light of which dispels completely. And with this sunlight, this text, which deals with the difficult points, the lotus of it is blossomed. And these words of wisdom have been the unprecedented wisdom has been drawn with the chariot of one's intelligence and wisdom, subtly dealing. And so, as Chupsan Rinpoche has said, that if you are a true reincarnation of a previous lama, or you should be able to stand up to the measure of being a Lama, which means that you actually have come to serve sentient beings and the Dharma. And he further says that when I find those Lamas really not doing what they should be doing, it really makes me sad. So this, we need those of the you who have the title of a Lama, reincarnate Lama. You should be, you should really pay attention in your study and reflection on the meaning of the text that you study, as well as practice of it. Benjen Lobsang Chögyen has said that the Tibet is filled with dinsang, which literally means good throat, excellent throat, which is a reference or epithet of donkeys. So this that Tibet is filled with donkeys. So which has a very, of course, very strong voice, of course. So one of the chant masters of Depong Common Assembly, and he sat for Geshe exam, and when he was sitting for his exam, he was not able to answer the questions that that were challenging him. And so the text, His Holiness is making comment on these lines which in the text, which says, those who are supposed to be guide of sentient beings, most of them cannot, are not able to, use or move their tongues in writing, debate, and teaching. And, but they still, and so it is a bad time that they still are quite proudly quite proud in their physical expressions. And so he's also making this comment. They're saying it's not the case that they are keeping silent or holding low profile in terms of doing these practices of teaching, debating, and or discussions and writing, because they although they have the knowledge, but because they don't have the knowledge, they are not able to do that. So the author says that although this writing, this piece of writing that I have done is an unprecedented gift that I pretend to be spreading to people, it is like a poor commodity for doing business. It may... So when you do analysis in quantum physics, they say that apart from the collection of the things, you cannot have anything that is standalone existence that you can say, oh, this is the thing in the parts as well. So there's no objective existence, which relates also to the reasoning which is used to prove emptiness. The reasoning is the absence or the lack of one and many. So that reasoning also has that capacity or the capability to prove that things do not have any objective existence. Mm-hmm. So by following or throughout the lives of where one has attained, one would attain the fully qualified life of leisure and endowment in the higher realms of existence, qualified by the sevenfold beautiful qualifications. May I be able to uphold the teaching of the Buddha just as intended by the Buddha himself regarding the upholding this ocean or the treasury of realization and the scriptures, and be able to be a skillful one leading sentient beings to that lasting peace. All these poor, pathetic sentient beings wandering in samsara, and may I be able to lead them to the unsurpassable wisdom of the ten powers, seeing with that omniscience, seeing every all aspects of things. So, the author says that this text, the lamp for illuminating the profound intention, which is written as a memoranda, memorandum for of the difficult points of the special penetrative insight of Lam Rim Chemo, was written by me, who has received teachings from my kind gurus, like the incomparably kind guru Sangye Chödrak Bel Sangbo, from whom I received the teachings on the both the Lhaktong parts of the Lam Rim Chemo and the intermediate Lam Rim, as well as the teachings on the commentaries on Madhyamaka Avatara and Mula Madhyamaka Karika by Master Tsongkhapa, and also Lekshin Nyingbo, the essence of true eloquence, and so forth. And it says most of the writings of Jitsongkhapa, and then also based on the teachings of decisive arguments of Madhyamaka, and then Chöje Peldenpa's writings. And so based on all these, and then at the request of some other people, he had written. And so I received this teaching from my tutor, Thakpa Gyatso, who received it from another teacher who lived 106 years. And next we'll do the Bodhicitta. There is a text which is the foundation of all good excellent qualities. So Je Rinpoche wrote this text, Master Tsongkhapa. So we'll say this prayer, which is also known as Chinla Pung Shu. So let's say this prayer. The kind Reverend Lama is reciting it. So first is reliance on Guru, then meditating on the preciousness of human life and how rare it is to find a qualified human life, and so forth. So usually when I say this prayer, I also say the 8 verses of mind training by Lang Tangpa. So he's on his sayings and lines from the concise Lamrim by Master Tsongkhapa. So then these lines from the three principal aspects of the path, urging the disciples, the receptive disciples, to listen to the teaching, and then the reason for why we need to the determination to be free from samsara. And here you should take the lines relating to compassion or bodhicitta, which says it's very important to use this line. And relating to the compassion, swept by the strong current of the four rivers and so forth. And then bodhicitta, the line for bodhicitta, and then next comes the and so, as the measure of having developed renunciation is given in this text, therefore, in regards to the bodhicitta and the understanding of emptiness, it is not the measure of having developed the experience is not mentioned. And so, next comes the teaching on dependent arising. And so, here, Master Tsongkhapa emphasizes the use of term, usage of the term. Therefore, strive in understanding dependent origination instead of saying emptiness. So, having studied having done the study, when you do the study of Abhisamaya Alamkara and Paramita, you come to the point of studying the lack of the reasoning to prove emptiness, which is the lack of one and many. And so this helps in overcoming the extremes of the one who has there is the Ngulu Tonyi mentions that there is the path pleasing the Buddhas, and then the stage when you have not realized emptiness, and then the stage when you have realized emptiness, as well as the having completed the inquiry into emptiness, analysis in emptiness. So although when you meditate on emptiness, after having studied and thought about it, and you may have some kind of emptiness, some kind of a experience of emptiness, but if that experience
what
So if these two, the unfailing dependent origination and the non-asserting emptiness, if these two still, you cannot complement the realization of these two with one another, you still could think, well, thinking that things are empty, I mean, you may not be able to say they still, the functionality of things is possible. That may happen. And so you have still not realized emptiness fully. But when you see that things that have functions, or you may think that, I mean, there should be something in there, in the object itself, that functions or have effect or influence us. And with regard to some designated object, you may think, although you have refuted or you have been able to say that, you may feel that you have refuted the intrinsic existence, but then still you may think, oh, there's something in there in the object and called the basis of designation. And so this is what happens. So when for me, it is more difficult to see the emptiness or so the selflessness of a person seems to be more difficult for me than the selflessness of phenomena, because with regard to the selflessness of phenomena, thinking that nothing of these matter and so forth have any intrinsic existence. But the more difficult thing is to confirm that it is true with regard to me as a person who has a mind and a stream of mind. So when you find that there is nothing whatsoever which can be held on to as being the person from within the psychophysical aggregates, and then when you are able to confirm that nothing whatsoever from amongst the five psychophysical aggregates can be posited as being that person, then you may be gaining insight into the subtle selflessness of persons. And so, however, at some point when without alteration, but at once, the instant you see the dependent origination is undeceiving, then if the entire object of grasping at certitude is dismantled, at this point your analysis of the view is culminated or completed. Furthermore, when appearance dispels the extreme of existence and when emptiness dispels the extreme of knowledge, in the end, if you understand how emptiness arises as cause and effect, you will never be captivated by views of grasping at the extremes. And then the last line. And so, since the teaching is this time, I'm giving the teaching in Teshe Lumbo, I also wanted to read this prayer that is given in the book. Written by the first Dalai Lama Gyendun Drupa, who also had visions of many meditation deities. So he wrote this poem as a song of experience called Shar Kangrima, the Eastern Snow Mountain. So when I see, on top of that white snow mountain in the east, I the snow, the clouds are reaching up to this, and seem like reaching up to the skies. And as I see this, and at the instance of seeing that, it reminds me of my guru and my devotion and faith in them. There's an upsurge of it, and as I think of their kindness. So with regards to the negative emotions such as attachment and anger, these are seen as things which have to be overcome only in the teaching of the Buddha and not others. And we use this in order to gain money, fame, and so forth. And therefore, the teachings, if you are able to understand the teaching well, then you can see how the teaching is meant for overcoming these negative emotions that we usually are so passionate about using in our life, sometimes even to create disharmony and for bigotry and so forth amongst different traditions. So these, we should not make this distinction between our and us and them and so forth. We are followers of Atisha and his followers, and also we are followers of the masters Nagarjuna and Asanga and so forth, as well as finally followers of this same teacher. So we need to see why such and such master has said this and that thing. What is the significance of them? Without any, so it says that in this land of snows now, some people hold themselves as called the upholders of the doctrine, while seeing others as if they are like sworn enemies of the teaching. And I feel revulsion or sadness from the depths of my heart seeing this. So it's as Jerembuche has said, there are people who have not really understood the significance of the teaching, even though they have learned a lot. And when it comes to the practice, they don't know the key points of practice. So and then the first Dalai Lama says there are those who are motivated to ruin others, to cause problem to others, while holding, while having this fixated view of within their mind, still proclaim to be on a high path. And this is something, a cause for everyone to feel embarrassed and so forth. So it's all in this read that so first we'll do the
对,
so we'll go through the Lamrim, the book 2, volume 2, for the aspiring bodhicitta. So please repeat these lines after me. Master, please think of me.
Mm-hmm.
As all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas who reside in the ten directions, please listen to me. So this is the request. Oh, Master, please listen to me. I say your name here from now until I reach the heart of enlightenment, go for refuge to the Bhagavan Buddha, supreme amongst beings. And just as the former Buddhas who have the target as our hearts and so forth, and the Bodhisattvas on the higher levels initially generate the spirit of unexalted perfect enlightenment, please, our Master, help me say your name here to generate the spirit of unexalted perfect enlightenment. So we have, we consider and hold this cherishing oneself as very important. So whether you are a believer in a religion or not, if you hold others to be more cherishable, then you will have happiness as individuals, and the family, your family will be happy, and then this community will also be happy. And so these days, in America, there are cities which are called City of Compassion or City of Kindness. And so with that those names, there are people who accordingly practice these virtues. So here, when we talk about bodhicitta, it is the most profound way of being kind to others and having the good mind. And so everyone gathered here, whether we have, although we have different languages, different, we come from different countries and so forth, we still are same in being humans. And then we also have the same potential for cultivating virtue and overcoming the negative thoughts, negative emotions. And so the root of happiness is a good heart. And therefore, here, the best of the warm hearts that we can cultivate is bodhicitta, and thinking of all sentient beings and thinking of leading them to the temporary as well as ultimate, the lasting peace. As the Buddha has said, the Buddhas do not wash away the sins and so forth, but they lead sentient beings out of suffering to liberation by showing the reality, the truth. So helping others could only be done by showing them what are to be adopted as practice and what are to be overcome and abandoned. So without knowing these, one cannot show it to others. Therefore, one should know what are to be adopted and what to be overcome and abandoned. As teachers and need the knowledge that they want to teach their students in a school. And so in order to avoid doing negative actions, you should know what those are, what to be abandoned. So if you practice themselves and then show it to others or teach them others and share it with them, then others will also believe in you, otherwise not. So if the Dharma becomes such a thing that, there are such interesting topics, but then there's no essence, then it's no use. So if you're thinking of eternal, lasting peace and happiness, then you have to overcome the negative emotions, destructive emotions, And if you wish to help others to reach that goal, you need to help them to overcome their negative actions and negative emotions, and from which comes the negative karmas and then the suffering and so forth. So you need to be able to show those to others, and for that you need to develop them within themselves, the principles, as we have all the Buddha nature within ourselves. So the first step that we should take to lead ourselves to the Buddhahood is now, in this time, in this life, in this time. Therefore, you are generating bodhicitta. You have the opportunity for that, all for the sake of all sentient beings across the expanse of space. You make this determination to become a Buddha for the sake of all these sentient beings. Just as all the Buddhas of the past have done, I will cultivate bodhicitta. And just as all the Buddha bodhisattvas have done, I will also train in the bodhisattva paths. And with all my efforts, therefore, you take refuge in the Three Jewels three times. So first, please follow these lines. Repeat after me. Master, please listen to me. These are... So I said earlier that I've recovered from the cold, but I still have cold, it seems. Oh, Master, please say your name here. I, from now until I reach the heart of enlightenment, go for refuge to the Bhagavan Buddhas, supreme amongst beings. Oh, Master, please listen to me. Say your name from now until I reached the heart of enlightenment to go for refuge to the best teachings, the teaching of peace from attachment, peace free from attachment. Oh, Master, please listen to me. I say your name here. From now until I reach the heart of enlightenment, go for refuge to the best of assemblies, the members of the community of noble bodhisattvas who are irreversible. So the... think the meaning along these lines that you have recited, and say this: I go for refuge to the Three Jewels, to the Buddha, Dharma, and Supreme Assembly. I take refuge until I'm enlightened. Say this three times. And next is taking, generating bodhicitta. So with regard to the precepts, the practices pertaining to taking refuge, they are given in Lamrim. So you have received the teaching and should think over. So as... it says the master should give here the present precept already explained in the context of teachings for the person of small capacity and so forth. And we'll do this seven-limb prayer, just the last few lines, through the practice of prostration, giving for confession and so forth. I dedicate all these for the great enlightenment. Then the actual ritual for bodhicitta. And then, having a clear idea of that mind, there's mind for enlightenment or spirit of enlightenment, you should remind yourself on a daily basis that you will actually make it stronger and stronger day by day, and make that pledge to to keep bodhicitta without decline and making progress in it day by day. And so that is what we are going to do, please kneel on your right knee. So imagine all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, as it was mentioned earlier. So we take refuge in them. To the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, we take refuge. And we say these lines of refuge. And we consider the Buddha and the Dharma and are precious. And regarding the Dharma, the main thing is to attain Buddhahood, the omniscient state, but it comes if you have cultivated and developed bodhicitta, and not without having developed bodhicitta. So just as the past bodhisattvas have cultivated and developed this spirit of enlightenment, and you make this determination, please repeat, all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas who reside in the 10 directions, please listen to me. O Master, please listen to me. By means of my virtuous roots of the nature of generosity, ethics, or meditation, which I, say your name, in this and all other lives cultivated and joined others to cultivate or rejoiced in the cultivation of, I, say your name, will generate the spirit of great and unexcelled and perfect enlightenment from now until I reach the heart of enlightenment, just as the earlier perfect Buddhas who are arhats and tathagatas and the great bodhisattvas who reside on the high levels have generated the spirit of unexcelled perfect enlightenment. I will liberate all living beings who are not liberated. I will free all living beings who are not freed. I will relieve those not relieved, and will cause to reach nirvana those who have not reached it. Repeat it for the second time, please. All Buddhas and Bodhisattvas who reside in the 10 directions, please listen to me. O Master, please listen to me. By means of my virtuous roots in the nature of generosity, ethics, and meditation, which I, say your name, in this and all other lives cultivated and joined others to cultivate or rejoiced in the cultivation of, I, say your name, will generate the spirit of enlightenment, spirit of great, unexcelled, perfect enlightenment from now until I reach the heart of enlightenment, just as the earlier perfect Buddhas who are arhats and tathagatas and the great bodhisattvas who reside on the high levels of generated the spirit of unexcelled, perfect enlightenment. I will liberate all living beings not liberated, free those not freed, and will relieve those without relief, and cause the nirvana reach nirvana those who have not reached it. At the third repetition, when you say and liberate cause to reach nirvana those who have not reached it, when you say this, bring up this the understanding or the spirit of enlightenment as much as possible in your mind. And just as all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas of the past have done, you should make determination that it is now, the time now, for me to develop this spirit of enlightenment. As just them, all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas who reside in the 10 directions, please listen to me. O Master, please listen to me. By means of my virtuous roots in the nature of generosity, ethics, and meditation, which I, say your name, in this and all other lives cultivated and joined others to cultivate and rejoiced in the cultivation of, I, say your name, will generate the spirit of great, unexcelled, perfect enlightenment from now until I reach the heart of enlightenment, just as the earlier perfect Buddhas who are arhats and tathagatas and the great Bodhisattvas who reside on the high levels generated spirit of unexcelled, perfect enlightenment. I will liberate all living beings who are not liberated, free those
living beings not freed. I will relieve those without relief, and I will cause to reach nirvana those who have not reached it. So I have this strong wish to cultivate and develop bodhicitta at this point. So having done that, you have to apply the practices which will cause you not to decline this bodhicitta in this life and the next lives. And then next, in the chapter on ethics in the great treatise of the middle of the stages of the path, Master Tsongkhapa refers to the bodhisattva vows. With regard to the bodhisattva vows, he refers to the basic path, which is commentary to the chapter on ethics of bodhisattva Bhumi. So we'll use that. So earlier, please sit down. So otherwise I'm keeping you. So earlier I took these bodhisattva vows without a lama, and went through this ritual of taking bodhisattva vow. And in my daily practice, I do the self entry into mandala, or which is called self initiation, and I take bodhisattva vows. And so, having generated bodhicitta, now is the time to take bodhisattva vows. Not only should you stay on the at the level of the aspiring bodhicitta, thinking that I will try to reach Buddhahood, but from now on, I will engage in those practices which are needed to lead me to that goal, the six perfections. The bodhisattva practices or precepts, such as the six perfections, which should be considered as important and called precious, like your own life. And on a daily basis, you should apply yourself to these practices. So without this, you will have difficulty. So muster of your courage to engage in the bodhisattva practices. So first, as Abhayakara and Zedari has done, make a mandala offering. Sanje shingdo mikte bewa in drogun namda shingla chobar sho itam gururana mandal kam niyataya mi. As I have already explained the benefit of bodhicitta and so forth many times before. In essence, Bodhisattva Charyatra Arvatara says, for eons and eons, having considered what is the most beneficial thing, the Buddhas have seen that this is the only factor. The best is bodhicitta. And as it is said in the same text, this is the one which destroys the So when you are disturbed, when you have agitated mind, anger, desire, and so forth, if you think of bodhicitta and think of cultivating virtues in the over three countless eons and so forth, you will really feel encouraged. So Dromtenpa says that if someone criticizes you, you should feel, oh, it's good, he didn't beat me.
So when you think that, oh, it's very good that this person didn't beat me, then his criticism seems very small and negligible. And then also thinking that if someone has beaten you, you can still think that, oh, it's very good that he didn't kill me. And then when you think about all sentient beings in samsara, so there is no way you can actually complain. If you really wish to complain, you have to complain against the complain to this self-cherishing attitude and the ignorance and grasping at true existence. These are to be challenged. If you have some wisdom, you need to do this. Uproot. Think of uprooting this grasping at true existence and the cherishing oneself. Otherwise, if you just complain about trivial things, oh, this is this person saying that, this person saying this, and so forth, it's really doesn't make sense. And especially if you profess yourself to be following the Dharma. And so, having generated bodhicitta, and have once you have some experience of bodhicitta, and also then you should also develop further to have the determination to keep the bodhicitta forever and so forth. And then, when you develop the wish to practice, you should do this. So listen to me. Kare. 이 말은 없이 아니마 나 전주서에 도보 중요하지 아니 So taking the bodhisattva vow is not for one's own long life and power and so forth, but to help all other sentient beings from suffering and its causes. And for that, you take the example of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and follow their footsteps, in their footsteps. So, Master, please grant me the bodhisattva vows of. So, His Holiness wishes also to read the 20 verses on bodhicitta or bodhisattva vows. So the bodhisattva vow is said to be should be taken from a master who has taken the who keeps the vows, and the benefit of taking from such a lama the bodhisattva vows is the essence of bodhisattva practice is of course it's a very great, but for oneself and others. So although something the practice may give you some problem in the short term, but if you
leader.
And so, although it's something, some practices may give you discomfort and some hardships, so, maybe hard and so forth in the temporary, short term, but if it's beneficial in the long run, you should engage in those practices to benefit. And then if certain practices are both beneficial in the short run as well as long run, one should practice them as well. And then in terms of the bodhisattva practice, the most important thing is to forsake or give up self-centeredness. And then comes the 18 root downfalls. So despising others and praising oneself because of being attached to gains. And so this is quite, we may be quite prone to fall into this trap with regard to sponsors and so forth. And then not sharing my wealth or the dharma out of miserliness is the second one, not forgiving even if others apologize. And then doubting and denying the Mahayana, taking offerings intended for the triple gem, abandoning the dharma pertaining to the three vehicles through sectarianism, and then disrobing monks and nuns and committing the five heinous actions, crimes, holding the distorted views, destroying places such as towns, teaching voidness to those untrained, discouraging others from full enlightenment, causing others to break Bhartimoksha vows, belittling those who follow Hinayana, proclaiming false realizations of whiteness, accepting gifts of what has been seized from the triple gem, passing false judgment, and giving up bodhicitta. So these are the 18 root downfalls. And if you have caused some, if you have, and for the bodhisattva vows to become a defeat, called the root downfall, it should be, you should also have committed these four binding factors for losing vows, which are not regarding negative actions as detrimental, not forsaking the wish to repeat such behavior, delighting and taking pleasure in them, and having no shame or consideration. And so with regard to the Pratimoksha vows, once you have committed the defeat, one of the defeats to lose, you lose vow, or if it, especially if it's something that you have concealed, you have committed and concealed. And then the 46 transgression, which are faulty actions, not making offering to the triple gem through the three gateways of our body, speech, and body and speech, falling out of our desirous minds, out of our desires, and not showing respect to our elders, not answering those who ask questions, not accepting when invited as guests, not accepting material gifts, not giving the dharma to those who wish to learn, ignoring those with shattered ethics, not upholding moral training for the sake of others, others' faith, being pity when it concerns the welfare of others, not committing a destructive action when love and compassion call for it, earning our living through a wrong livelihood, becoming excited and flying off to some frivolous activity, intending only to wander in samsara, not ridding ourselves of behavior that causes us to fall to ill repute,
not redressing those who act with disturbing emotions and attitudes, discarding the four positive trainings, ignoring those who are angry with us, refusing others' apologies, dwelling on anger, gathering a circle of followers because of desiring veneration and respect, not doing anything out of laziness, and so on. And so this is the 20 verses on the Bodhisattva vows by Master Chandra Gomi. If you have time, you should go over it, and I mean, you should memorize it. And even if you can't, you can't memorize it, you should go read it. Please. Please say yes, I like. So have this mind, hold this mind of firmly, the determination. And now there is the next question. Are you taking this Bodhisattva vows to compete with others? No. Mahila, say Mahila, have not forced by others. Say, I have heard a bit. Yes, I understand. Yes, I have faith in it, in the Bodhisattva scriptures. Please say the seven limb prayer. Whatever slight positive potential I may have created and so forth. So having generated bodhicitta, feel very joyous in your heart, delighted that you are able to, you are taking part in taking the Bodhisattva vows, which is the, there's no greater way to please the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. So whatever you do out of selfish motive, will not please the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. But when you are thinking of, when you think of benefiting all sentient beings who are equal to the expanse of the space, and when you make this determination and the pledge to practice the Bodhisattva, to engage in the Bodhisattva practices, then they would be so pleased. I mean, even to the point we could say that they would really nod at us. And imagine all the lineage lamas, like the omniscient Gendun Trupp, the first Dalai Lama, and imagine that you are able to please them so that they are actually say, yes, yes, that's right. To lions among humans, going to freedom in the three times, in the worlds of ten directions, to you all with my body, speech, and sincere mind, I bow down with the energy of aspiration for the Bodhisattva way, with the sense of deep respect, and with many bodies as atoms of the world, and to all Buddhas who visualize this real, I bow down. On every atom are Buddhas, nebulous as atoms, each amidst a host of Bodhisattvas, and a confident sphere of phenomena is essential, entirely filled with Buddhas in this way. With infinite oceans of praise for you, an ocean of sound from aspects of my voice, I sing the breathtaking excellence of Buddhas and celebrate all of the sugatas, beautiful flowers and regal garlands, sweet music, scented oil and parasols, sparkling lights and sublime incense. I offer to you victorious fine dress and fragrant perfume, sandalwood powder, heaped high as Mount Meru, wondrous offerings in spectacular array. I offer to you victorious with transcendent offerings, peerless in vows, with profound admiration for all Buddhas, with strength of conviction in the Bodhisattva way. I offer and bow down to all the victorious ones. Every harmful action I have done with my body, speech, and mind, overwhelmed by detachment, anger, and confusion, all this I confess before you. I lift my heart and rejoice in all positive potential of the Buddha's Bodhisattvas in 10 directions and solitary realizing the hearers still training and those gone beyond and all ordinary beings. You are the bright lights of the world in 10 directions who are trained, attained the Buddha's omniscience through the stages of awakening. All of you who are my guides, please turn the swim wheel of Dharma with palms together. I earnestly request you to, you may, please don't pass away, but stay and for a number of eons as and for the happiness and well-being of others and whatever slight positive potentials and so forth. You dedicate them for full awakening. Please repeat these for quickly. So exhorting to grant the vow soon. You say, Jimdo, please grant it to grant this to me soon. So calling on the master, you have asked, requested him to grant the Bodhisattva vow soon. And next is so in order for the Bodhisattva vows to take root in you to gain, you should at least have some experience of the aspiring bodhicitta. So here you are asked son of the lineage, Dharma brothers and so, are you a bodhisattva? Have you made the resolve for Bodhi? And this, you must say, it is so. Say this, please. So the Tibetan says, lekso, which means well done. It's how does that sound to you? And then, even if you may have the desire to take the Bodhisattva vows, but next is asking whether you want to take the Bodhisattva vows from me or not. Of course, there may be cases where people don't want to take the Bodhisattva vow from a specific particular teacher. And yes, I want. Say that, please. And then next is the actual taking the Bodhisattva vow. There is no particular repetition of lines. And so regarding the three vows of morality, ethics, the master asks, do you want to take these three from me? You say, yes, I will. And so that when you say, yes, I will take these bodhisattva vows of ethics. And so please kneel on your right knee if you don't have bad legs or bad knees. So you have taken Bodhisattva vows. We have all taken Bodhisattva vows many times, but amongst a huge assembly of people, gathering of people like these, and also taking it after having received teachings on Lamrim, the stages of their path, and therefore, please think carefully over this. So this son of lineage, Thubten Nyima, and so forth, has three times received from me. Marsh?
So will you, son of the lineage, so and so, Tsutum Nyima and so forth, receive from me all the bodhisattva basis of training and all the bodhisattva ethics, the ethics of vow, the ethics of collecting virtues and the ethics of accomplishing the welfare of sentient beings and so forth. Will you take these from me? Yes, I will say this for the first time. And will you, sons of lineage such as Tsutum Nyima, and receive from me all the bodhisattva basis of training and all the bodhisattva ethics, the ethics of vow, the ethics of collecting virtue, and the ethics of accomplishing the welfare of sentient beings, whatever the basis of training and the ethics of all bodhisattvas of the past, whatever the basis of training and the ethics of bodhisattvas of the future, whatever the basis of training and the bodhisattva ethics of all bodhisattvas present, their abiding in ten directions, may be whatever the basis of training and ethics in which all past bodhisattvas have trained, or future bodhisattvas will train, and or present bodhisattvas are training. Well, do you want to take these from me? Yes, I want. At the third time, when you say, yes, I want, feel great joy in your heart, such a point that you your whole body shakes and you are not able to sit still. And from now on, from this day on, as we say, I take refuge collections of merit and wisdom. May I, through generosity and so forth, may I become a Buddha for the benefit of all beings. And although you may not be someone who is already on the bodhisattva path, but soon you may enter into this path, then take the first step and in the journey to Buddhahood. So will you, sons of lineage, and so forth, receive from me all the bodhisattva trainings and all the bodhisattva ethics, the ethics of vows, the ethics collecting virtues, the ethics accomplishing welfare of sentient beings, whatever the basis of the training and the ethics of all the bodhisattvas of the past, present, whatever the basis and training of and the ethics of the all the bodhisattva future, and whatever the basis of training and the ethics of bodhisattvas present, abiding in the ten directions, maybe whatever the basis of training and ethics in which all the past bodhisattvas have trained, in what is future bodhisattvas will train, and the present bodhisattvas are training. The question is asked three times. Will you take it from me? Yes, I will. Say this for the third time. And so this completes the bodhisattva vows. As it is said in the Bodhisattva Charya Avatara, today you have made this life, human life, a meaningful one, fruitful. And so I also feel fortunate to have this opportunity to give you the Bodhisattva vows. And as one of the persons in the lineage of the Dalai Lamas, I also feel fortunate to have made this life, a human life, a fruitful one, having obtained human birth. I'm born today in the Buddha family and become the son of Buddhas. From now on, whatever I do, I must be in harmony with the family render no pollution to this faultless, noble clan. So you should do your best to follow in the footsteps of the great masters whom you have visualized earlier, and the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and let the concluding ritual.
That's enough.
So before the same image and the visualizations, it says the disciple as well as who has remained seated does his devotions at the feet of the jinas and the conquerors and their children and fields of Buddha fields of all directions. And so Kenzin Wangpo, who was upholder of all the different traditions of Tibetan Buddhism, an ecumenical master, in his ritual for the Bodhisattva vows, he says that he mentions that the Lama makes prostrations, and Yongzhen Ling Rinpoche also did the same. On the part of the Lama, I did these prostrations, and so it can be applied. This prostration, doing prostration, can be done either by the Lama or the disciples. And so here we have let's have all the disciples to do the prostrations. And so please make three prostrations, although it's quite maybe quite inconvenient to do the prostration in all directions. Make three prostrations and then stand up where you are. And the master will stand up. So His Holiness, as the master giving the Bodhisattva vows, is going to stand on his throne. So the throne is being set. So it's very, the throne cushion is very undulating, ups and downs. So everyone please keep standing. So perhaps I have to dance. So before this, all that the Tathagatas and so forth. So this Bodhisattva named so-and-so has three times received from me the Bodhisattva Tenzin Gyatso, the Bodhisattva Tenzin Gyatso and so forth. Have taken the Bodhisattva from me, the Bodhisattva Tenzin Gyatso, the Bodhisattva vow of ethics. And I, named Tenzin Gyatso, being witness, announced this to the highest of the nobles in the boundless infinite realms of the universe of all directions, who, though not visible, have intellect to which all sentient beings are entirely visible. This bodhisattva, named Tenzin Gyatso, has undertaken, Tenzin Nyima has undertaken the bodhisattva vows of ethics. And this is repeated three times. This bodhisattva, named Thubten Nyima, and others have taken three times received from me, the bodhisattva Tenzin Gyatso, the bodhisattva vow of ethics. I named Tenzin Gyatso, being the Buddhist monk Tenzin Gyatso, being witness, announced it to those highest of nobles in the boundless infinite realms of the universe in all directions, who, though not visible, have intellect, intellect to which all sentient beings are entirely visible. The bodhisattva's name so and so has undertaken the bodhisattva vows of ethics. The bodhisattva named Thubten Nyima and others have three times received from me the bodhisattva, Buddhist monk Tenzin Gyatso, the bodhisattva vows of ethics. I named so and so, the Buddhist monk Tenzin Gyatso, being witness, announced it to those highest of nobles in the boundless infinite realms of the universe in all directions, who, though not visible, have intellects to which all sentient beings are entirely visible. The bodhisattva's name, Thubten Nyima, has, and so forth, have undertaken the bodhisattva vows of ethics. So this is announcing to the Buddhas of the three times for about this bodhisattva deeds. And then the jubilation for the Buddhist benefit. As soon as the act of karma, undertaking the vows of ethics, has been completed, the very nature of things is that a high sign, such as earthquake, will appear to Buddhas and high-stage bodhisattvas, alive and flourishing in the infinite realms of the universe in all directions, by which it comes to their notice that a bodhisattva has undertaken the vow of Jina's disciples. Thereupon it comes to their notice where, by whom, and from whom it has been taken. And having been noticed, it enters their intuitive vision. With that intuitive vision, the realization enters their hearts that the bodhisattva, Thubten Nyima, and so forth, in a certain realm of the universe, in this Jambudvipa, in the southern region of the Jambudvipa, in India, close to Mysore, in this 21st century, regarding the follower of, as a, so because of our karma, which has been unavoidable, we have become sentient beings who have become exiles and refugees, who in the beginning had no other friends, almost like no friend other than the sky and the earth. As prophesied by the Master Tsongkhapa to Gendun Drupa, the first Dalai Lama, and also supported by the Baldan Lhamo, the Dokam Dagmo, this monastery, Tashi Lhunpo, was founder of this, was Gendun Drupa, who, with these qualifications. At this monastery of Tashi Lhunpo, founded by the first Dalai Lama, the bodhisattva, Thubten Nyima, and so forth, and here have received the bodhisattva vows of ethics from the bodhisattva, from me. The bodhisattva, Buddhist monk, or Shakya monk, Tenzin Gyatso. And they love him variously, the Jinas as a son, the Jinas' sons as the brothers, their good hearts feeling, may they attain the goal without any hindrance. The virtues of the bodhisattvas loved in that way will grow and not decrease. The Bodhisattva vows of ethics undertaking is the most distinguished of all the vows of ethics undertaking because it has four distinguished features. It is supreme because there is no higher, none higher. It is endowed with the measureless aggregates of merit, inasmuch as it comprises measureless merit as its result, inasmuch as it has been created by a good aspiration for the benefit and pleasure of all sentient beings. It has been generated by the most wholesome attitude in mind. It functions as the antidote to all types of misconduct entered through the three doors, body, speech, and mind. To undertake the Pratimoksha vow does not approach a hundredth of the merits of undertaking this Bodhisattva vow of ethics, no thousands or no any number, fractions, calculation, example, or comparison. Please sit down. So after having given this Bodhisattva vow, I have been promoted to a higher throne. My throne has become higher. Please sit down. Oh. Next is the Thanksgiving offering by both teacher and the disciples. Let's say the seven limb prayer. Let's say this seven limb prayer. You lines among humans, gone from freedom in the three times and worlds of ten directions to you all. With body, speech, and sincere mind, I bow down. With the energy of aspiration of Bodhisattva way, for the Bodhisattva way, with a sense of deep respect, and with as many bodies as atoms of the world to you all, Buddha's visualizes real, I bow down. On every atom are Buddha's numberless as atoms. Each I miss a host of Bodhisattvas, and I am confident the sphere of all phenomena is entirely filled with Buddhas in this way, with infinite oceans of praise for you, and oceans of sound from the aspects of from many aspects of my voice, I sing the breathtaking excellence of Buddhas and celebrate all of you Sugatas. Beautiful flowers and regal colors, sweet scents, or sweet music, scented oils and parasols, sparkling lights and sublime incense I offer to you, victorious ones. Fine dress and fragrant perfume, sandalwood powder, heaped as high as Mount Meru. All wondrous offerings and spectacular array I offer to you, returning the sense in offering, fearless and vast, with profound admiration for all Buddhas, with strength of conviction in the Bodhisattva way. I offer and bow down to all victorious in every harmful action I have done with my Buddha's speech and mind. Overwhelmed by attachment, anger, and confusion, all this I openly lay bare and confess. I lift up my heart to rejoice in all the positive potential of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in 10 directions of solitary realities of hearers still training and those gone beyond, and all ordinary beings, you who are bright lights of the world of 10 directions, who have attained Buddhas, omniscience through the stages of awakening, all of you who are my guides, please turn the swimming wheel of with palms together. I earnestly request you to, you may not go, you may not pass away. Please stay with us for eons, numberless as atoms of the world, for the happiness and well-being of wandering sentient beings, whatever slight positive potentials I may have created by paying homage, offering confession, rejoicing, requesting the Buddhas to stay and teach. I now dedicate all these for full awakening. Whatever slight positive potential I may have created by paying homage, offering, and confession, rejoicing, and requesting the Buddha stay and teach, I now dedicate all this for full awakening. And next, so warning the disciples not to rashly publicize or though you may have, though you may have grasped a sense of ceremony for taking the Bodhisattva vow and master technical terms, you should not rashly publicize the terms and communicate the sense to untried vessels. So having the sentient beings who may reject the Bodhisattva collection out of hostility, who may lack the faith, so we should not go to others and say, oh, you have to generate bodhicitta and engage in Bodhisattva practices just like that. And so this should not be done. Why so? Those who lack devotion to it, who are obscured by the great obscuration of unawareness, may repudiate what they hear, saying it's bad. So because of different different philosophical ideas, so from the point of those who do not accept Creator God, then those followers of theistic religion are they are fallen in the extreme of wrong views. Exaggerated way of looking at things, and from their point of view, they would see us, those who don't follow or accept a theistic God, a theistic creator God, as having fallen into the extreme of nihilism. And therefore, because they may repudiate what they hear, saying it is bad, it's wrong, it's senseless. And as to that repudiation, to the extent that the Bodhisattva established in the vow has become endowed with the measureless aggregate of merit, so long as he has not entirely eliminated all those evil words of repudiation, all those evil views that cling mentally to that repudiation, and all those evil representations that make of it a visual pattern of thought to them, same extent he will become possessed of nothing more than a measureless aggregate of demerit. And so with this we have completed the Bodhisattva the ceremony for Bodhisattva vows, as given in the Bodhisattva Bhumi's chapter on ethics. And I will read from the beginning of Lamrim Chemo, the great treatise of the path to enlightenment, a little bit. First, there is the prostration to Manjushri, and then the lines of then homage to the Buddha, and then those of the masters, Maitreya and Ms. Manjushri, Nagarjuna, Asanga, and then Atisha. Master Atisha, and then all the other masters of the lineage who are like the eyes to see the profound, vast teaching. And so, as Jerenbuche has said, there are those who have who do not have any knowledge of the Dharma. And on the one hand, there may be people who claim to be monks and nuns, but they do not engage in the practices of bodhisattvas. So this we must change, the attitude that thinking that, oh, the studying the scriptures is the responsibility of the monks and nuns. And and so about 40 years ago, I have urged the Tibetans to study the texts. And so in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, we have, we don't have the, regarding the ordination of bhikshunis, I have urged, of course, it's not something that we can do on our own.
Yeah.
But in the Chinese tradition, they have the bhikshuni vows and ordination, and some actually are quite doubtful of whether the lineage is pure or not. So there are some people who are quite doubtful of the authenticity of the ordination lineage. And in the Burma and other countries, it seems the Buddhist, the lineage of the Bhikshuni ordination does not exist. But what we can do is, as we I have already done it, and to urge the, for the nuns to study the philosophical Dharma. And so now, after about 40 years of urging them to study, we have nuns who are on the verge of getting the Geshe Ma, or the female Geshe degree. And so, which is very, there are very good nuns who are very good at their studies. And then also, I've urged the lay people to study. So in the beginning, of course, we had neglected some time regarding this, and so now we have lay people also studying the classic texts. And inside Tibet, the nuns are studying the classical, great scriptures and texts, and also lay people doing this. Learning debating, studying the scriptures through debate, which are done in India as well as in Tibet. In Dharamsala, for example, in India, we have, and here in South India, this has now started a new kind of a trend of studying the classic texts by lay people. And so Master Tsongkhapa nowadays, making effort at yoga have studied. Those making effort at yoga have studied few of the classical texts. So everyone who have come from come here from different parts of the world, it's important for you to study the Dharma. And naturally, the Westerners are quite good at being rational. I've noticed this right early on in my exile life, whereas the Easterners, Asians, when they are given some initiation, tantric initiation, they are very alert. But when it's time for the master to give teachings, then they feel bored and they doze off during the teachings. And so, regarding this line, and then while those who have studied much are not skilled in the key points of practice, so sometimes people may have studied a lot, but they are more or less lost in using in the literal meanings and using words against others and not being able to really integrate and internalize the teachings within their mind stream, and thereby making some, drawing the inspiration to make transformation. So there are people who actually have this problem, while those who have studied much are not skilled in the key points of practice. And then Jerembuche says they tend to view the scriptures through the eyes of partisanship. So followers of Jetsongkhapa, for example, sees that the and you are more or less lost in studying your own textbooks and not even Tsongkhapa's writings. And then, taking from there, we don't read the scriptures written by Master Asanga and so forth. So you have the eyes of partisanship and unable to use reason to discriminate the meaning of scriptures. So we sometimes, when we try to raise questions and qualms, we would answer, give some answer, and then in the end we resort to some scriptural citation. Of course, that's not exactly what we should do. The essential point of what the scriptures even says should be understood through reason. So most of us kind of recite or use certain scriptural citation to support our thesis, our whatever we want to say. So it has become like an obligation. So with regard to Abhidhamma Kosha, so if you say that there is Mount Meru asset in this these lines, and if you wish to use these lines against me, who and I would say with due respect to Vasubandhu, excuse me, I don't accept that, and therefore, even regarding the scriptures, you should be able to understand the meaning by using reason. And finally, everything has to be based on one's own experience, the direct experience. Therefore, having seen that that they lack the path pleasing to the wise, the supreme complete instructions, the key points of the teaching, I was inspired to explain this part of the great trailblazers. All those fortunate ones who are not obscured by the darkness of partisanship. So if you are a Gelugpa, just sticking to Gelug tradition alone, and a Nyingmapa sticking just to the Nyingma tradition alone, is the obscure. It's what applies to you, obscured by darkness of partisanship. Who have the mental capacity to differentiate good and bad, and who wish to make meaningful this good life of leisure, should listen with one-pointed attention. Here, the teaching that I will explain is how the fortunate beings are led to the Buddhahood by way of stages of the path of enlightenment that contain one, the key points of all the conqueror scriptures. Two are the pathways forged by the two great trailblazers. Three, Nagarjuna and Sangha. Three are the systems of supreme beings progressing on the stage of omniscience. And four, fully comprise the stages practiced by the three types of persons. The scholars of glorious Nalanda are said to have explained the teaching by way of three purities. And so the six scriptures of the Kadam tradition, and also the Master Nagarjuna's Mula Madhyamaka Karika, and the six treatises. And so it's important to follow the Nalanda tradition, not just resorting mainly to scriptural citation, but using reasoning, the purities of speech of the master, the purity of the mind of the disciple, and the purity of the teaching that will be explained. At a later time, this teaching spread to Dravid Kamala Shila. It is said that it was important for its scholars to begin with three topics: the greatness of the author of the teaching, the greatness of the teaching, and how one should explain and listen to that teaching. Between these two, the renowned methods, here I follow the latter in my explanation. And tomorrow we have a break day, and then day after tomorrow we'll do the 16 drops of Kadampa initiation. And if people are in a hurry to return to their home, you may start going from today or tomorrow. There's no obligation to stay back. So I've not yet decided whether I should sit inside for the Kadam, say 16 Kadampa drops initiation. And here, the people who have organized, the monks who have worked to organize these teachings have done very well and worked very hard. Thank you very much. And then the sponsors of the monastery who have helped the Tashin Hunbo, and also and the food sponsors for the food for everyone who have attained these teachings have done very well. Thank you all. And you have really, you must have gone through lots of hardships and difficulties. So all your hardship were for the sake of the Dharma, not for some business, commercial business, or some spectacle or shows. But it is, it has become part of the practice of accumulation of merit, and you have to dedicate whatever merit you may have gained for
start somewhere around 1 p.m. So please go to the designated place after your lunch. Final lament dedication from my two collections was a space that I have amassed from walking with effort and its practice for a great length of time. I have also a very important announcement from Zhangzhou Langren Committee. The Zhangzhou Langren Teaching Organizing Committee would like to advise that no further donations can be made to Zhangzhou Langren Teachings after the 31st December 2015, as the Zhangzhou Langren Teaching committee will be dissolved at the end of these teachings. We are not able to accept any further donations after this date. Please note the following cut-off times for donations. Money offering to Sangha must be finalized by 1 p.m. on 31st December 2015. I repeat, money offerings to Sangha must be finalized by 1 p.m. on 31st 2015. All other donations must be finalized by 5 p.m. 31st December. This the announcement is issued by Tenzin Seten, Chairman of Jangjo Lamrim Teaching Organizing Committee. And the next audience announcement. The Taiwanese, Koreans, Singaporeans, Vietnamese, Japanese, and Indonesians, the audience will be inside the main assembly hall around 1:30 p.m. today. Inside the main prayer hall, as I repeat, the audience for Taiwanese, Koreans, Singaporeans, Japanese, Malaysian, Vietnamese, and Indonesians will be inside the main assembly hall at 1:30 p.m. today after lunch. And the rest of the foreigners will be in front of the temple under the tent. So I repeat the announcement again. Taiwanese, Koreans, Singaporeans, Japanese, Malaysians, Vietnamese, Indonesians, there will be audience for all of them inside the main assembly hall at 1:30 p.m. Other than that, all the Westerners and all the foreigners will have audience under the tent in the front of the temple at 1 o'clock. The Westerners will be at 1 o'clock and the Southeast Asians will be at 1:30. Thank you. And the audience for all the Westerners will be at 1 o'clock right after lunch under the tent in front of the temple. And audience for Southeast Asians will be at 1:30 inside the main assembly hall. So please spread the message. Thank you.
Was on the visual as well.